My little dog is a spaz. I want to introduce you to Shasta. He's my 12-pound hairball, and he was traumatized as a puppy. He used to love to run outside our sliding glass door and just tear into the backyard. Well, one day, he built up this head of steam, and he barreled toward that door. But see, we had the glass door open, but the screen door closed. You know what's coming, right? He hit that screen door, bam, and it bowed, and then, whew, it swung him back into the room. He has never been the same. He has a door jam phobia. And he also has this other weird little phobia. He has this fear of floor color change. It's the weirdest thing. Like in our living room, we have carpet, and then we have in our dining room, dark floor, and then our kitchen, we have light floor. And if you were to watch Shasta, you would think that the transition between these floors was made out of lava or something. And so when you take a door jam and combine it with a floor color change, forget about it. He is just a wreck. This little guy, he will sit in the entry, the doorway to my studio every day, and he'll just shake and whine and whimper because he wants so bad to come in, but he's afraid to cross the threshold. And finally, he builds up enough courage and he goes across and he scampers like a cartoon dog. He comes in. He's just afraid to make the change. And I think that sometimes we can be like that, can't we? Sometimes the fear of the unknown is greater than the fear of the known. And we don't want to move. We get stuck in these habitual patterns in our life. You know how it goes? We go to the same places. We do the same things. We have the same conversations over and over. And this can happen to us in our spiritual life as well. We go to church. We say the words. We sing the songs. We shake the hands. We eat the bread. Hum-dee-dum. It goes over and over again. And we can get stuck. And sometimes we think, maybe there's more. Sometimes we think we might have courage to look at something in a new way. But then, for some reason, we're pulled back. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's cultural pressure. Or maybe it's just plain laziness. But for whatever the reason, we're stuck. And in our scripture today, we meet two men who I think were also stuck. And these men have an encounter with God. And as we eavesdrop on their conversations with God, I think we can learn some important lessons on how we can get unstuck and how we can move forward with God. So let's look at the first guy. He's over here. His name is Abram. Now, Abram was a guy who lived in a city called Haran in the land of the Chaldeans. And now the Chaldeans, this was a mighty empire. They later became known as the Babylonians. Now, to say that Abram lived in Haran of the Chaldeans was kind of like today saying that he lived in Moscow of the former Soviet Union. Dun, dun, dun. You know, it kind of evokes that sense of empire and oppression. Because the Chaldeans were an empire, and they worshipped this moon god named Sin, and his symbol was the crescent moon, which is why a lot of Middle Eastern countries today still have the crescent moon as their symbol. It goes back to this moon god, and he was also the horned bull, and so Sin, the moon god, was this great god who rode on the horned bull across the sky and taught his people how to oppress their enemies and dominate, because that's what empires do. And sometimes I think about Abram, and I try to imagine, what was he like? I wonder if he was one of those guys who just stepped back from his culture, and he looked at this bustling city of Haran, and he looked at the politics of the priesthood, and he looked at the oppression of his enemies, and the wheeling and dealing of the marketplace. And I wonder if he just asked, could there be more? And I always imagine Abram walking out into the field at night and looking up at this glowing moon and saying, are you really God? See, I think Abram was stuck in a moon god religion. But I think he was courageous. Maybe he was the kind of guy that was willing to ask the tough questions. And even more importantly, he was courageous enough to try to listen for new answers. And see, that's when God shows up in his life and talks to him. Now, let's roll the tape forward 2,000 years, and we come to another guy. His name is Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, in his world, things had changed a lot in 2,000 years. World powers had shifted, and the dominant world power was Rome. Now, Nicodemus was also a wealthy man. He was influential as a leader of his people, the people of the Jews. But Nicodemus' religion taught him that God loved only the Jews and hated everyone else. And that if Israel would just get their act together, then God would come and oust the Romans and kind of vindicate the Jews. So the Jewish people were fearful and they were angry. They were angry at God sometimes. They were angry at the Romans for sure. Sometimes they were angry with themselves. And I just wonder if Nicodemus was one of those guys who sat back and looked at his culture and he said, is this really what God intended for our people? To be angry and fearful? And he was a guy who was courageous enough to break the rules and go actually have a conversation with this radical teacher named Jesus. And by the way, this is the original Nick at Night. Think about it. Okay, so let's roll the tape 2,000 years forward to today. And I wonder today, where are you? Are you stuck somewhere? I wonder if you ever, like me, look around at this thing that we call Christianity. Do you ever look around and wonder why it seems like Christians are some of the angriest and most hateful people? Or maybe you look around and you just see a lot of Christians that just go through the motions without any passion. Or maybe today you come into this place and you just feel flat. You feel spiritually stale. Now, as weird as this may sound coming from a Christian pastor, I think sometimes we can get stuck in a Christian religion. Just going through motions without any purpose. So as we listen to these two conversations of Abram and Nicodemus, we're going to see three lessons that will help us to maybe get unstuck from where we are right now. The first lesson is this. We need to learn to lift our eyes so that we can see God in a new way. See, in society, it's easy for us to kind of create God in an image that we like. Right? We like to take God and confine God into a creed or a confession. Now, there's nothing wrong with creeds and confessions. But many times, we want to control God so that we can just be safe and comfortable. And so we need to learn how to lift our eyes out of that box and see God in a new way. And so as we go over to Abram's conversation, look and see what happens. Now remember, Abram has been raised with this idea of God, that God is a dominating empire God. And when he meets Yahweh, Yahweh says some radical words to him. He says, Abram, I want to bless you. Now, the word to bless is an interesting word because it literally means to kneel down before someone. So imagine that. Here is Yahweh, the creator of the universe, the God who actually placed the moon and the sun and the stars in the heavens, who comes before Abram, this simple man, and he kneels down before him and he says, Abram, I bless you. Abram, I don't dominate you. I don't lord it over you. I am for you. And I want to lead you and be for you. That's a different kind of God. Now let's go to Nicodemus' story and his conversation. What does Jesus say to Nicodemus about God? Jesus says, "For God so loved the world." Right? God so loved the world. See, Nicodemus' colleagues, they believed that God loved only the Jews and hated the world. But Jesus said, "No, Nicodemus, God loves all the world, even the Romans." You see, many times today, we can get stuck. After 2,000 years of Christian empires, we can get stuck in this idea that God loves people like us and kind of hates everybody else. You know, God loves America and doesn't love all those non-democratic countries. Or God is on the side of the Democrats. How could he possibly love all those conservative, narrow-minded Republicans? Or God is a Republican. How could he possibly love all those liberal Democrats? And we need to be reminded, we need to lift our eyes and be reminded that God is above all of that. God is the God that loves the world, all people, no matter who they are or what form they take. Now, secondly, not only do we need to lift our eyes, but we need to open our ears and actually hear the call of God. Look what God said to Abraham over here. God said to Abraham, there are two key words in the phrase that he said to Abram. The words, "so that." He said, "Abram, I am blessing you so that you can be a blessing to all nations." Let's say this phrase together. Blessed to be a blessing. Let's say it again. Blessed to be a blessing. See, this is the mission of God's people. You remember what the word "bless" means? To kneel before. We are called to kneel down before all nations. We are called to serve all nations, to be a conduit of God's grace to all people, no matter who they are. And then look what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, "Nicodemus, God did not send me to condemn the world, but to save the world." See, the mission of Jesus, the mission of Jesus' followers, that's us, is to bless the world, to bring the saving way of Jesus to all people through our words and through our actions. We are called to be like Jesus to everyone, regardless of who they are. See, Nicodemus was stuck because he forgot that that was always the mission. Jesus didn't come to bring a new message. Jesus came to remind God's people that the mission of God's people is that they are blessed to be a blessing. In our world today, it's easy to be caught into a self-centered theology, a self-serving kind of theology. It's easy to think, you know what? Hey, I'm a Lutheran. I've been confirmed. I've got my ticket to heaven. It's all good. I'm just going to sit back. But that's not the gospel. We are blessed to be a blessing. And that is why on our Lenten journey this year, we are focusing on world hunger. It's not just an inward journey, it's an outward journey to bring hope and food to those in need. Now, the third lesson that we learn from these conversations is that we need to move our feet. We need to move. God said to Abram, "Abram, leave your country, leave your father's household, leave your safety and your comfort. And I will send you to a land that I will show you." Now, how would you feel if God asked you to move but didn't tell you where you were going? That would be scary. It would take great faith. You would have to trust that God was going before you and had your best interest in mind. But that's exactly what Abram did. And look what he said to Nicodemus. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You need to reconfigure your hard drive so that you can come into this world and see this world through the eyes of a young child, so that you can see the world the way God sees the world. So here we are today. I don't know where you're stuck today. Maybe you have a hard time believing that God actually loves you. But God does love you. And God blesses you. Or maybe you're like Shasta, and you were traumatized as a puppy. And you've been trained to not trust. And it's difficult for you to make that step of faith and believe that God will do something in your life. Maybe it's hard for you to imagine reaching out and loving someone different than you. But one thing I do know is this. God is a God that calls us to move. God is dynamic. The universe is an expanding universe. God always calls us to move and change and go to new places. So my prayer for us on this Lenten journey is that God would stir in you a hunger, a deep hunger that would cause you to lift your eyes and see God in a new way this year. That you would be able to hear God's call in your life, that you are blessed to be a blessing to others. And that God would give you the courage that you need to move out as the Spirit of God leads you on this wild and wonderful journey together. That's my prayer, that we would hunger and thirst during this Lent. Amen. Would you stand with me?